Good morning, I'm John Jacek from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. I'm going to be presenting some research conducted with my colleagues Lena Gupta and Bonnie Kirker on weight perception and weight loss activities among boys in New York City public high schools. The last two questions were actually pretty good segues into some of the content in this presentation, so thank you both. I'll just give a quick overview of my presentation. I'll be mentioning why this topic is of importance in New York City and across the country, describing the data sources and methods used in the research, presenting key findings from the analysis, and discussing how these findings can help to inform efforts to reduce adolescent obesity. So we've heard a little bit about this already. Adolescent obesity has been the subject of increasing attention in recent years, due in part to the significant rise in its prevalence. National data from the Center for Disease Control's Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System show that since 1999, the proportion of obese high school students has risen several percentage points. About one out of every eight high school students is now obese, and about one in six boys, one in 10 girls. The health consequences of childhood obesity are believed to include increased risk for type 2 diabetes, liver and cardiovascular disease, as well as complications from asthma. Additionally, some consequences, as we've heard, may be psychosocial, including discrimination by peers and low self-esteem. Obese teens are also more likely to be obese as adults, suggesting that this is an important topic to minimize early on in order to prevent longer-term impacts. Since high schools are important locations in which teens spend much of their time, they represent a good link to physical activity and nutritional education programs. Therefore, continuing to assess progress in this area to identify particular student populations with particular needs is important. And my presentation today focuses specifically on boys. Boys may experience overweight uniquely due to differing social norms and pressures about weight and body image. National data indicate that boys are less likely to be trying to lose weight than girls, suggesting that understanding more about how boys identify a need to lose weight and the specific activities they undertake to do so may be valuable. So two overarching questions motivated our research. The first was whether or not boys accurately describe their weight status. That is, do overweight boys recognize that they are overweight? Given the diverse student population in New York City, we were further interested in understanding how this might vary by racial ethnic group, school grade, or between the five counties that make up the city. Secondly, we wanted to assess if perception of weight category was associated with efforts to lose weight. Overall, and in terms of two specific encouraged activities, eating and exercising, and the discouraged or unhealthy approach of vomiting or laxative use. In order to investigate these questions, we utilized data from the 2007 Youth Risk Behavior Survey, or YRBS. The YRBS is a local version of the national YRBSS, from which I just quoted some statistics. It asks a series of core questions that are common across the country, in addition to a few questions that are specific to issues in New York City. Through a collaborative effort with the CDC and the New York City Department of Education, the YRBS is administered every 2 years to public high school students in grades 9 through 12. Sampling is done in a two-stage process, first by school and then by classroom within the selected school. In 2007, just over 9,000 students from 87 schools completed the questionnaire with an overall response rate of 68%. Responses were then weighted to represent the New York City public high school population, excluding a few specific types of schools, such as English as a second language and special education. And you can see that the racial composition of New York City public schools is quite diverse. So there's really a lot of, I think, variation to be potentially found among the students. Particular survey items used in this research include weight category, constructed from self-reported height and weight. These resulted in three mutually exclusive BMI categories, and we've heard a little bit about the pros and cons of using BMI. But for those of you who are not familiar with BMI, it's sort of a commonly used way of looking at weight, and it's easy to calculate, which makes it sort of convenient for researchers. For those of you who have worked with adolescent obesity data, you may notice that these categories are slightly different than what was formally recommended for a while. I believe that the CDC was sort of discouraging the use of obese for adolescents due to the possible stigma, but we believe we're using the most current recommendations for that. Boys' weight perception was established using responses to the question, how do you describe your weight, with groupings created to be analogous to the BMI categories, and which allowed us to compare actual weight category with weight perception. So for instance, if a 14-year-old boy is 5 feet tall and weighs 140 pounds, that would place him in the 96th percentile, and he would therefore be obese, have an obese weight category. But if he then said that he was about the right weight, he would go into the under or normal category for weight perception. And then weight control activities were determined by responses to the questions shown here. These are fairly straightforward. Overall intention was measured by the question, which of the following are you trying to do about your weight? Lose, gain, stay the same, or not trying to do anything? And then eating changes were determined by a yes-no item about eating modification in the past 30 days to control weight. Physical activity by a yes-no question about exercising during the past 30 days. And vomiting or laxative use also in the past 30 days. All analyses were conducted in SAS-callable Sudan, which accounted for the COMPIC survey design of the YRBS. These included bivariate examinations of weight category with respect to demographic variables, using t-tests for comparison between groups, and multivariable analyses using logistic regression to examine the impact of weight perception on weight loss attention and specific weight loss activities, controlling for other explanatory variables. These other variables included standard demographics and weight category. We examined all bivariate associations, entered all variables significant to alpha, less than 0.1, and then refined the model through backwards elimination. So we find that overall, 15% of boys in New York City public high schools are overweight but not obese, and an additional 14% are obese. While rates of overweight, shown by the blue bars here, are similar across racial ethnic groups, white and Asian boys are less likely to be obese, that's shown by the red bars here, than Hispanic boys. About 1 in 3 Hispanic boys are either overweight or obese. And while obesity, again, the red bars, is equally prevalent across grades, overweight is slightly more common among 9th grade than 10th or 12th grade boys, suggesting that this might be a growing problem among students just entering high school. So this is something we'll want to monitor moving forward. And obesity and overweight are equally prevalent across the 5 counties in New York City. That's not shown here, but we're sort of interested in determining if there's any usefulness to sort of doing more geographically targeted programs. The next table compares boys' perceived weight with actual weight categories. So for instance, the top left cell here indicates that 92% of boys who are under or normal weight by BMI category consider themselves under or normal weight. So that's sort of congruent perception. The red cells indicate those boys who underestimate their weight category. Among boys who are obese by a BMI, which is the bottom row of the table, 24% consider themselves under or normal weight, and 60% think they are only slightly overweight. Overall, about 3/4 of overweight or obese boys underestimate their weight category. So from here on, we'll just concentrate on the boys who are actually overweight or obese by BMI. This chart shows the percent within each racial ethnic group who underestimate their weight. Hispanic and black boys are more likely than whites or Asians to underestimate weight. And there are also slight differences by grade, with 10th grade students more likely than 11th grade students to do so. We now examine weight loss efforts. Overall, about 2/3 of overweight or obese boys say they are trying to lose weight. Weight loss intention is associated with having correct weight perception, with 85% of those who correctly perceive their weight category stating an intention to lose weight, compared to only about 60% of those who underestimate it. It's also less likely among blacks than any other racial ethnic group, and more common among obese than overweight boys. So controlling for these variables now in a logistic regression model, we see that having correct weight perception remains important. Boys who correctly perceive their weight category are about 1.5 times as likely to be trying to lose weight as those who underestimate it. While blacks remain less likely to be trying to lose weight than Hispanics, there's no longer a difference between blacks, whites, and Asians. Thanks. And obese boys are still significantly more likely than overweight boys to be trying to lose weight. Okay, now let's look at specific weight loss activities. First, changes to diet. Overall, just under half of overweight or obese boys said they changed their diet in the past 30 days to influence their weight. This is also more common among boys with correct weight perception. 55% of those who correctly perceive their weight category stated that they changed their diet in the past month, compared to only 45% of those who underestimated it. Data suggest that blacks are less likely also, though these differences do not reach significance, and obese boys are more likely than overweight boys. And again, these findings pretty much hold after controlling in the multivariate model. Weight perception remains significant, with boys who correctly perceive their weight more likely to have modified their eating. Blacks are now less likely than whites and Asians to have done so. And obese boys are still more likely than overweight boys. Turning now to exercising, no differences are notable. About 80% of overweight or obese boys said they exercised in the past 30 days to lose weight, but there are no notable differences between those with correct weight perception and those who underestimate it, or among racial and ethnic groups. So there was no need to control in a multivariate model for that particular exercise. Finally, looking at the prevalence of vomiting or using laxatives, this is a much less frequent weight control activity. Only about 5% of overweight or obese boys report doing so in the past month. Sample sizes are small, but data suggest that boys with correct weight perception are less likely to use these unhealthy activities. So there may be a sort of a protective effect of actually perceiving your weight correctly to using this discouraged method to control your weight. So in summary, our research shows that obesity is a problem for high school boys in New York City, with a particularly high burden among Hispanics. Two-thirds of overweight and obese boys underestimate their weight, with blacks in particular doing so. And this may be an impediment to weight loss efforts. We saw the correct perception was positively related to efforts to lose weight and to changes in eating habits. If boys don't consider themselves overweight, they are less likely to try to modify their weight, suggesting the need for more education in schools about healthy weight and more regular measurement of BMI and other measurements for body, such as body composition. Research about body image perceptions among different racial ethnic groups may be a useful adjunct. Boys intending to lose weight by watching their diet should be encouraged through healthy school food options. Finally, while many boys exercise, they may not do so with the regularity or intensity necessary for weight maintenance or loss. Even those who are trying to lose weight may find exercise difficult without support during school hours and may benefit from expanded fitness programs and after-school programs. A few limitations of the study I'd like to quickly note. We've heard about self-reporting and the limitations of cross-sectional data. Some studies have found that boys overestimate their height, which would in turn underestimate their BMI. Lack of a recent height or weight measurement could also make a difference, since the recommended BMI changes pretty consistently through the high school years. It may be difficult for boys to actually know at any given time what their proper weight should be. As I said, we measured BMI and not waist circumference or body composition, so that's a limitation of the study. Very athletic boys, for instance, can have a high BMI due to extra muscle mass rather than excess fat. And the YRBS is a public school-based survey and therefore can only capture public school students who are present in class and choose to participate, which may bias the results. And thank you for your attention, and thanks to the other presenters on today's panel. For more information, please contact me, and I'll take any questions if anyone has them. Yes?
I guess regarding the BMI, because I know that there's certain Asian groups, the BMI is actually adjusted. So is that something that will be looked at regarding BMI?
That is something we could go further in the analysis with, certainly. It's not something we did for this. And that was actually a question I wanted to ask the international people, if BMI is sort of a recognized standard outside of this country, if there's sort of a different distribution that applies, or?
I could actually comment on that. In Asian populations, the BMI actually should be adjusted lower.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actually specific BMI growth charts for Asian populations, specifically in China and Japan.
Okay, that's great to know. Since we have a large Asian population in New York City, we'll take a look at that definitely. Is there another question?
Yes, I'm not really familiar with this database, but are there any parental reports or parental perceptions as part of this?
This is administered solely to students, so this particular questionnaire only takes place in school. That's a good point. I think the challenge is connecting sort of where the information about body perception comes from, and so I think having the parental view would be important.
Shows this, especially with children, that they consistently think their children are thinner than they actually are. I'm just wondering if that persists across, and that's where these boys are thinking that their weight perception, why the weight perception is off. Because their parents always tell them, oh, you're fine, eat more.
Mm-hmm. So they're incorporating that message, and they're not getting sort of the messages from the other perspective. Yes?
Just because I'm a social worker at Alice Health Center in New York.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with information?
Well, we're going to report it at conferences like this. There are a couple of initiatives that are already started. I mean, statewide, there are recent regulations about the amount of physical activity that needs to happen in schools that happened just recently. So I think the next round of data will let us know how fully that's being implemented and what impact, if any, it's had on overweight. There's been recent nutritional initiatives within schools to reduce the availability of higher fat milk. and things like that. I think we are going to try to work with the school health team at the health department to try to isolate certain groups of students who may need, identify certain groups of students who need particular focus or up the regularity with which we provide nutritional information in which BMI is measured. I don't know at this point how frequently height and weight are measured in schools, which would be good to know. I mean, if it's happening annually on a periodic chart where students would actually have the information, it's difficult to know from the survey if they actually, can identify the proper BMI for their age.
Yes. How many schools do before and after activities?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
How many schools do before and after activities?
That varies pretty widely. I mean, I think that, sort of dependent on funding and availability of classroom space, which is, at least in New York City, kind of a hot commodity to sort of have the availability of space to conduct programs. Yes?
And is physical activity or PE, is that incorporated in New York City's? Is that because a lot of our schools in Arizona do not have this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think up until the recent legislation, that varied pretty widely. I mean, we there are questions on the YRBS about how regularly you attend PE class, and it's kind of all over the map depending on which student the school attends. I think, but the move now is to make it a little more consistent and at least provide, PE 3 times a week for an hour at a time. There's still the question of the content of those PE sessions and if they're actually getting recommended levels of activity while they're there, but this is at least, I think, a step in the right direction.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.